So instead of saying, oh, let me go to bank, they've not given me, or they are saying banks are not giving money, my uncle is not supporting me. First of all, take responsibility for your life and your business. Carry your phone and Google. Just Google it. Where is NAFDAC office in my state or in my business state of residence? You go there with all humility. Even if you don't have anybody to ask online, go to NAFDAC office. Ask, how do I go about this? These are the products that I have. The officials at the NAFDAC office, they have packages for small businesses. So it's not just medium businesses. They have packages for even nano micro businesses. For some people, when they hear facility, they already think, oh, machines in millions. Look at the report by Smedan. Over 40% of small businesses fail in their first year or in their first 1 to 5 years. Why? Lack of funding, which is what we're talking about. Lack of structure and lack of knowledge. Young people in Africa need to start thinking about serving the global market. So if you're thinking, though, I just want to make 5,000 naira to give to my wife to cook for me so that I can just eat today, that is not a global problem. Like, that kind of idea cannot go global. It's okay, that's all you know, but it is not okay now that you are hearing me. You have to join communities. When I say communities, it's not the community in your CDA, in your estate, or where you are living. Yeah. You have to join online communities of like-minded entrepreneurs. Don't wait till when the money comes before you know what you want. Like, you need to have known what you want to use the money for. That's where the issue of, oh, how they have collected grant to family problems, actually. If you know what you want to use the money, yes, after getting all the excitement, you are excited, calm down. Calm down. What did you tell the organization you were going to use the money for? Because interestingly, like I told you, the waterfall effect about grants. When you apply to organization A and you get it, organization B, most times they ask, have you gotten a grant before? If yes, how much? Tell us what you did with the money. So if you tell organization B that, oh, I got grant from organization A, I was able to increase our revenue from 500k to 1 million, from 5 million to 10 million, we're able to increase our staff, we provided employment before we were just two, now we've employed two more people. They can see the growth, they can see the traction. If you tell them, oh, before we were doing everything manually, we were doing just 500 products weekly, but we're able to get grant from organization A, we're able to acquire machines and tools that help increase our production capacity, and we're able to do ABC. Organization B can trust you to give you their money, because organization B too wants to say that in the newspaper at the end of the year, we're able to support 1,000 SMEs in Nigeria. Here, they want to be in the goodwill, like their names in the newspaper, or they supported this number of entrepreneurs. But that other one that you say, money laundry, man, I don't know.
Welcome to the Franklin Business Podcast, ladies and gentlemen, especially the ladies. Let me not say especially the ladies. I'm sure you're gonna be interested in this conversation because we've got an amazing, amazing person. But before we go into our guest for today, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Franklin Business Podcast, and what we always look out, what we always do is to make sure we make business education accessible. I'm breaking it down for the average business person to understand what it takes to run business. It cuts across different industries because we bring industry experts, people who have been there and they've done that, especially people who can relate to the pain points of business persons. This is the goal of the Franklin Business Podcast. Kelechi, we also have other objectives. What do you think are the objectives of the Franklin Business Podcast? As a matter of fact, my name is Frank. To put it in better perspective, Fagbo Kelechi.
Yeah. Okay. So we're having a conversation before the podcast just started, and I was talking about the declining rate of Europe.
Yeah.
Volkswagen have covered their have shut down their plants. The average age in Europe now is 45 years old, so they don't have mobile people that can do the job.
Yeah.
In Asia, China, that means India and China, the average age is 32. We are the youngest population in
19.
The world. 19. So we are going to run industries. We are going to run businesses, not just in the African landscape, in the global landscape. I'll give you an example. The current CEO of Google, India, Adobe, India, YouTube, India. So Africa will get to that point whereby we'll be CEOs of multinational companies, we'll be CEO of global firms. And I think that's our objective, bringing people that have done it to come past this legacy, discipline, belief, mindset, and also motivate the younger people that, okay, yes, the future is in your hands, and don't just play local, play global. Don't just build small products, build global products. Don't just build small businesses to take care of yourself, all those mom and pop shops, open retail outlets. So I think that's the objective.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got an amazing guest now, Miss. Before we talk about the guest, the African business landscape is made up of 90% of the African business landscape is made up of MSMEs. What that means is medium, small scale enterprises. And these guys are the foundation. They are the pillars of the African economy. And we can't talk business if we're not discussing MSMEs. MSMEs are businesses that are averaging, put to the Nigerian context, is averaging averaging revenue of, let's say, 25 million thereabouts per annum. And these guys are literally responsible for the African economy. And that's why we're looking at having this conversation. But here is it. A lot of the business owners always talk about a fundamental problem of having access to funding. Access to funding is a major problem. And that's why we decided to come up with this. How can you write a winning pitch deck that would get you access to any grant anywhere around the world, any foundation, anybody or any financial institution, or perhaps you want to walk into a bank? What do you need to do to get access to this funding? And that's why we looked at bringing no other person, but bringing the ever amazing, ever elegant, ever beautiful. Apart from that, she's a wealth of knowledge, and she's been able to, she's done this for more than a decade, and put in a lot of work to help MSMEs get access to grants, get access to funding. Because when we talk about funding, people always think, oh, the tech ecosystem, they always think startup, they always think, oh, I'm sitting on my system, I'm a coder, I'm a developer. That's what, when those are the only people we think get access to funding. But as a small, medium-scale enterprise, believe you me, you can as well get access to grants. And why I like grants? One major thing where we say I take, use, like grants. Kelechi, guess why?
Why?
A free money. Also free. Also free. Also free.
You know, I put that kind of mindset for people. Maybe they go collect grants, run, come up on that.
Kelechi, yeah. Who do we have for today?
Yeah. So, our guest is Nigeria Biz Grant CEO.
So, she's Stella Adebayo Matthew, and she's the founder of Biz Grant Academy, doing an amazing stuff in the SME sector. And I love the work you've been doing. I love what you've been doing for MSMEs. Amazing, amazing work. Because it takes it's easy to consult and easy to do a lot of paperwork, works that has to do with system structures for Fortune 500 companies, because they already have the structure. They just tell you, okay, hey, I'm just going to send you the contact of a marketing manager for you to understand where our marketing strategy. I'll send you the contact of our lawyer for you to understand our legal. They have everything. They have the system and structure. So now just plug and play. But you see, when you're dealing with SMEs, now one person, you're dealing with one person, and that person is literally the brainchild of an entire economy. Who has the experience been so far?
Okay, so thank you so much for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you too for coming. Ever elegant.
Thank you. So yeah. It's been amazing, right? It's been an expository journey for me, teaching small businesses how to access grants, how to leverage grants to grow in their businesses. And you talked about the interesting thing, like what you love most about grants, the fact that it is free. And I would say what I love most about grants is the fact I love the waterfall effect. What do I mean by waterfall effect? When you win one grant, if organization A can trust your business idea and give you one, there are chances that over 90% chances that you, organization B can trust you with their money, organization C can trust you with their money, and that's why you see those who have won grants, right? Is it that grant was their first or the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth or the sixth or the seventh? That's why you see they are multi-grant winners. Same people winning it over and over and over again because they've mastered the metrics, the code. They know what and what it entails. They know their business is in and out. They know what to say to the funder. They know what to say to this funder to give them the money. So you cannot say you want to get a big grant and go to that table of grant as a novice. I'm going to bounce you back.
But grant is in mainstream in terms of funding in the Nigerian ecosystem. I tell you, because I know how many small businesses that they don't even care about grants. Either the banks are not giving me loan, which of my uncle will help me now? Nobody to help me. When it comes to funding, I think the mindset is a little steep bit.
I think, I don't want to use the word I beg to differ, but here is the catch. I'm not sure any bank is an NGO. Yeah, they are in for profit. And so when people say banks are not giving, banks, there are people that, you get people with bank, they rush. Remember we had Coach Nancy on the show, and she said that when she started her business, she was applying. Then they were sitting in six banks before all this banking recapitalization came on board. And at a point in time, when she got her system and structures right, banks were rushing. They were rushing her to give her loans. So I think we need to put the cart before the horse. How do I mean? If they put their system and structures, if they set it right, more banks will give you. But it's also very difficult for banks now because look at for business persons now, look at the interest rate. 26.75% in Nigeria as we speak. Mm-hmm. This is the month of September. Mm-hmm. So if you're watching, this is the month of September 2024. And if you see interest rate this high, imagine how much the banks are going to be giving you loans. Some banks are giving you as high as 30%, 35%. How much is your turnover before you now start thinking of paying back the loan with that interest of 30% and above?
But yeah, that's where alternative source of funding comes in. That's okay. Where grant comes in.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
Why... This episode is key. So the question is, how do I know that my business is applicable to access grants?
Okay.
What kind of business access those grants?
Okay, so I'll start from the mindset you spoke about, right? A small business owner needs funds, right? So mm-hmm. Instead of saying, oh, let me go to bank, they don't give me, or they are saying banks are not giving money, my uncle is not supporting me. First of all, take responsibility for your life and your business. Yes, that's the first thing that you need. Because as soon as you take responsibility, you start taking charge. So let's say a small business owner needs 10 million naira now. And you found a grant organization that is giving 1 million naira. Apply for that 1 million first. Collect that 1 million key. By the time you apply for 5 or 10, and you get from them, your 10 million is complete. Instead of sitting down, wait for 10 million to come at once. So the mindset, like I talked about, is very important. And of course, you have to position yourself. Positioning your business to be fund ready, like to be grant fund ready. So you cannot say that let's say somebody who does a food packaging business, for example,
yeah.
Right? You need a grant of 5 million naira to help you to do your branding and packaging. And you don't have NAFDAC. A local or global organization that supports those in the food agri value chain with grants would not give you because they do not want to be associated with a business that is producing what is not NAFDAC certified.
True.
And you hear some people when they hear NAFDAC, they're like, hey, I don't have millions. Have you carried your leg to go to NAFDAC office to go and ask, what do I need to do? Or have you even asked a small business owner? Because you see them, you see it on their bio, NAFDAC certified. Have you even tried to follow the person? Try to make friends with the person, try to comment, and then one of these days you just enter the DM. Please, I saw you have NAFDAC, your products are NAFDAC certified. How do I go about it? But you can't sit down there and fold your hand and say it's only people that are NAFDAC certified that they are giving. Carry your phone and Google. Just Google it. Where is NAFDAC office in my state or in my business state of residence? You go there. With all humility, even if you don't have anybody to ask online, of course there are people. I just gave you that. Go to NAFDAC office, ask, how do I go about this? These are the products that I have. There are NAFDAC, the officials at the NAFDAC office, they have packages for small businesses. Mm. So it's not just medium businesses. They have packages for even nano micro businesses. Sometimes they will ask you, your facility. When they hear facility, they already think, oh, machines in millions. No. Try and go first. Hear what they are going to say first. And by the time you go, you start getting all the information step by step. Things will start aligning. Other than sitting there and saying, I don't have it all. And then you fold your hands and your business crashes. Look at a report by Smedan. Over 40% of small businesses fail in their first year or in their first 1 to 5 years.
Why?
Why? Lack of funding, which is what we're talking about. Lack of structure and lack of knowledge.
Which one will you put first?
I'll say knowledge. Because when you have knowledge, you will know what to do to put the structure in place to get the funds.
So, if I put my structure in place now. Let's say I sell.
You just think that people understand this structure thing.
Let's break it down.
I sell.
What is the knowledge? Because some people will just. I'm telling you, Kel. Some people think the knowledge is that, oh my goodness, when I was writing JAMB, I was supposed to pick business admin. I'm telling you, that's the knowledge. Some people think it's about business. And they'll just lose out. They just feel, oh, no, I didn't study business admin, so I'm lost in the world of business. So what is really that knowledge? Because sometimes we're just talking over the heads of people. What is that knowledge? What are the major things, the key points you need to understand?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, running a business, we all know, right, takes a lot. So when we talk about knowledge of the market that you are in, knowledge of that industry, what is happening in that business industry, what is the target market, who are you serving, first of all, let's start from there, so that you will not be jumping over, just running around and just not moving, right? So who are the people that you are serving? How large is that market? What is the industry size? So you need to know who you are serving so that even in communicating your content or your marketing, your educational, whatever, you'll be able to communicate directly with the people that you are serving. But when you do not even know those you are serving, how will you do that? You don't even know the amount of money in that industry. How will you even know that your business can make $100 million, your business can make $500 million, your business can do $1 billion in revenue when you don't even know what is happening in that space? And when you don't know, you will do the one that you know. The one that you know is you are making 500K. You are even struggling to make 500K in a year. And you have bills to pay. You have families. You have children to pay their school fees. You want to look good. You want to pay yourself. You cannot pay yourself with this. You cannot, like, structure. It is very simple. Structure is looking like it's a big English, but it's not big. Let me break it down. Small business owner that sells maybe clothing, get it registered with the Corporate Affairs Commission as a business name. At least, open a corporate account, business bank account, small business account. Go to the bank. I want to open a small business. Once you're a bank, they'll remove my money. They'll remove my money. No. So when you are even doing your pricing, when you are pricing your products, you are going to factor in those expenses. Even the amount of money that you use to register the business, you're going to factor it in the pricing. And you're not going to be reducing your price because you know the people that you're talking to. If your business is serving the large, the middle income market, you are going to be communicating with them. You are going to research what they are doing. Who is the middle income person? He has a decent house, has a car, can afford to clothe well, can afford to take his or her children to a school that they charge maybe 100K or 200,000 naira per term. So these are the small details that you need to have info. So when you are communicating, you know, and even in your communication to them, the way your brand is, how it appears, it should be appealing to the people that you are called to serve. But when you do not even have this knowledge, what is love?
So, I feel so many people fell into entrepreneurship. I'll say that.
Because
80% people that got into small business or that get into small business, my bad, will tell you that they started it because when they came outside, they had no job. So some of them being prepared that, okay, I'm leaving the school to go into entrepreneurship. So those research, they don't really do it. Small business owners don't do research. They don't even know how far they can take their business. And when you don't have a vision for something, everything goes.
Yeah, true.
When you don't, it's like cooking jollof rice now. You know you're cooking jollof rice, so you know what spices to put in jollof rice. But
there's a fine line between jollof rice and concussion. It's very thin.
Yes, it's very thin. So my point exactly is, for someone like me that don't even know where to take this business to, how do I even know the structure to put in place? I just want to use it to survive. If 5,000 enter today, let me go home. Let me give Mama and Kechi. Let Mama and Kechi cook soup. Let's. That's when people say small business, I feel that's what the average Nigerian think. This is used to fund my lifestyle. I don't care about taking it to the top and the top and the top. Nigeria will be Nigeria and stuff like that. So, with that being said now, I'm trying to get into a small business. I want to sell clothes and the rest. How can I access grants? How can I write this business plan? How can I think 10 years ahead?
Okay, so what is the goal behind I want to sell clothes? To make money so that I can take care of myself.
Yes.
Now, that's a small problem. So if you want to access grants, you need to start thinking about big problems and how to solve big problems. we had a conversation before the podcast started.
Yeah.
We talked about young people in Africa need to start thinking about selling the global market.
Yes.
So if you're thinking, oh, I just want to make 5,000 naira to give to my wife to cook for me so that I can just eat today, that is not a global problem. Like that kind of idea cannot go global. It's okay, that's all you know, but it is not okay now that you are hearing me. So there's a way you can serve the global market with that clothing you want to sell. So how can you export Africa to the global market? These are the things you need to start doing. So you're not just going to be like the regular Instagram vendor that sells clothes, that does general clothes selling. Yeah. How can you package it such a way that your business is unique? How can you make it unique? And of course, it's not something you're going to get in a day. You have to think about it over and over and over, and you keep working on it. And then, of course, how do you get the knowledge? You are not going to get the knowledge by forming a loner. You're a loner in your space. You have to join communities. When I say communities, it's not the community in your CDA, in your estate, or where you are living.
Yeah.
You have to join online communities of like-minded entrepreneurs. And how can you do that? Just Google it. I can give you some. There's MSME Africa. There's Biz Grant community. There's Economy community. There is NBC community. And several others. Join communities. Because it's when you join the communities, that's where you have opportunity to interact with other business owners that are working in line with that vision. Mm-hmm. And of course, I need to even bring it back. Where there is no vision, my people perish. What do I mean? If you don't even know where you are going, it's okay. You started because, after school, there was no job. So they told me that I should start one small business. But you've started now that you are inside. You need to do your own research. Join communities and hear what other business. Now, these communities you are joining, information that are inside the communities, you are not going to be hearing it on the street of Instagram like that. Some of the things they are going to be sharing. Some of them will be sharing how they wrote proposals, how they won grants, what they did. Which grant organization is like my academy, for example. We share grant opportunities. We have a channel where we share grant opportunities every day. We have a research team that researches grant and we share on the platform. So if you are not in the community, how can you even have access to it?
Yeah.
And some people will say, anyways, I can go on YouTube. I can go and learn. Oh yeah, go and sit on YouTube and learn. So you need to join the communities to hear what is happening there so that you can key into it. But if you do not join, there's no way you are going to have access to those knowledge and resources that will help you to kickstart.
Let us talk a bit about funding. Funding, interest rate right now is 26%, but no bank is even going to give you a loan with 26%. They will either peg it at 30%. And grants looks like the lowest hanging fruit because it's free. And what you just need to do is to make sure, like you stated, you have the knowledge, you have... But there's a precedent, and I think it stemmed from the startup ecosystem where people get access to this funding. You call it grants, you call it funding, whether any of the CADA, pre-seed, seed, and all series. But when they get those monies, is when they remember that there's always somebody that will die in that family, that there's time for burial, you have to buy a Shrebi. You have to fund it. There's time for wedding. You need mopo. You get to follow you up and down. I'm telling you what is happening.
Don't know how many years you money get, goes.
Yeah. And not years, kid.
Don't know how many months.
And then, I think there's... I was saying it at the point in time, in Africa, we really do not have... We don't have a revenue problem. I don't think so, per se. If we check deep, we have a spending problem. We don't know how to manage things. There are so many infrastructure we have in this country. Management is the issue. Look at the airport. There was one time that the airport was the noise of the time when it was built. But now it's mismanagement that has brought it to this current state. So there are so many issues. Let's talk about management of funds. What is managing funds for MSMEs? How do they manage it? When that money comes, there's this, when you get alerts. Kelechi, you know now.
So I'll still bring it back to vision.
Yeah.
If you're long term, and I would say that you need to start thinking long term, you are going to put the funds into activities that will bring in more money into your business. So I said it, before we came up here. I said, Grant will give you the push. Grant, please note, free funds, free resources. They will give you the push. But it is the money that comes from your customers consistently. That's why you see those startups in the tech space. Some of them, yeah. They get the fund, they raise 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. And then before you know it, you hear they are shutting down. Right? It's because some of them, they were not having consistent customers that patronize them. Yeah. I mean, they're not having consistent sales. So the grants was just funding their operations. And it will get to a point, it will stop. Because there's no money, there's no pipeline. It's not like you are getting grants every day.
Mm-hmm.
Grants will give you the push. Grants will enable you to hire. You can pay. You can say, okay, you want to use grants to pay salaries for maybe 5 months or 1 year, right? So that those that you're hiring, right, they are strong people that have the knowledge and the technical know-how to help you to put things in place to grow the business. However, before you go to, that's why I say you need to receive. Before you go to the table of grants, you need to have done your own research very well. Who are you serving? Is there a demand for my product and service? And one of the reasons why SMEs fail, according to Smedan, is that some of them, they are selling products that are not in high demand. And some of them, they are selling products, oh, my friend is selling clothes. My friend is selling shoe and bag. Let me go and do the same business. So you need to research, who are you serving? It's something that you need to think about deeply. It's not even, don't wait till when the money comes before you know what you want. Like, you need to have known what you want to use the money for. That's where the issue of, they have collected grant or family problems actually. If you know what you want, wanted to use the money, yes, after getting all the excitement, you are excited, calm down. Calm down. What did you tell the organization you were going to use the money for? Because interestingly, like I told you, the waterfall effect about grants.
Yeah.
When you apply to organization A, you get it. Organization B, most times they ask, have you gotten a grant before? If yes, how much? Tell us what you did with the money. So if you tell organization B that, I got a grant from organization A, I was able to increase our revenue from 500K to 1 million, from 5 million to 10 million. Mm-hmm. We're able to increase our staff. We provided employment before we were just two. Now we employ two more people. Mm-hmm. They can see the growth. They can see the traction. If you tell them, before we used to, we were doing everything manually, we were doing just 500 products weekly, but we're able to get grants from organization A, we're able to acquire machines and tools mm-hmm. that help increase our production capacity, and we're able to do ABC. Organization B can trust you to give you their money, because organization B too wants to say that in the newspaper at the end of the year, we're able to support 1,000 SMEs in Nigeria.
True.
So, PR, so the goodwill.
Yeah.
So in a situation where you do not meet up, they cannot choose you.
So why do people? Why? Let us even go back. Let's go to the back end. Why do people give grants?
Okay, fantastic.
Because most people feel that YouTube, Facebook is free, WhatsApp is free, Instagram is free. You think Mark is just generous?
Nah, you're paying for it.
Do you get? So there's always a hidden agenda. So I want us to go to the back end. Let's see what is behind the curtain. And they because there are conversations around all these grants, some of them, some money laundering, some trying to evade taxes, some there are foundations that, yes. So let's go to the back end a bit before we come to the surface.
Okay,
why do you think people give grants?
Okay.
Free money. They just want the dash money.
See the mindset.
That's what people think.
I'll still say it again.
Yeah.
Right. Why do local or global organizations support small businesses? Some of them, they started their businesses in your country or your community, and their businesses grew over time. So they want to give back.
Okay.
And their way of giving back, they know that they cannot give to that guy that just came out of school that's just seeking employment, but they know that they can give it to somebody who owns a shoe business, shoe cobbling or whatever business. You know, when they support Tunde with that money, Tunde has the capacity. Even though Tunde is not seeing that he has the capacity to create employment. But they know that once Tunde realizes that he has the capacity, then they give Tunde the money to support his business. As Tunde's business grows, Tunde can provide employment.
True.
So instead of giving the money to one person, they give it to somebody that can impact thousands of people. So that's why they want to give back to the society. They want to show. And then, like I said, PR. they want to be in the goodwill, like their names in the newspaper, or they supported this number of entrepreneurs, they support. But that other one that you say, money laundry, man, I don't know.
Okay, so my question would be, is grant business sensitive, or every business go?
Okay.
Like, if I want to give her $1 million now in business grant, is it, do I give it to particular, are there some businesses that won't touch that money? Or how does the grant team work? And secondly, what kind of grants are available right now and how can we assess it?
Okay. So some of these international organizations, they partner with organizations like Faith Foundation, right? So when they partner with them, Faith Foundation is the one that now sets up a process to call for application to give out grants to small businesses. Mm-hmm. While some others, they decide to just put it up on their website. Right, and then those who are privy to that information, they go on the website, they apply for the grants, and they get them. Mm-hmm. So, to your second question, where do you find information about grants? Like I said, join communities of entrepreneurs, of businesses. So, if you saw somebody who won a grant online, don't just go to the comment, oh, congratulations, you have won, congratulations, my own is coming. Yes, your own is coming. Enter the person's DM. Please help my destiny. Where did you get the information about this grant? How can I get information about grants? So you get that information and then you take action, because if you don't take, I've heard severally, knowledge is power, but it is the knowledge that you apply that's where the power lies in.
True.
So once you hear about it, go and submit your application. Of course, you're not going to go and submit an application that you don't know anything about. You need to be able to communicate the problem that your business is solving. You need to include that data and statistics, right? What problem is your business solving? What solution are you bringing to the table? Who are the target markets? Who are you serving? Your traction, your business model, how do you make money? How are you leveraging? I've seen this question oftentimes in grant application. Tell us how you are leveraging technology to grow your business. What technology are you using to grow your business? Some people hear that, I don't do coding. No, you are using social media. You are using WhatsApp. For example, somebody offers training on WhatsApp. You train other small business owners on WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
You are running an edtech.
You don't need to build an infrastructure to do that.
You need to, but that is the starting point. That is the starting point. Now, it's how to move that training from WhatsApp to an online platform, like a website.
Yeah, because you already have the community.
Yes.
And so it will be easier to onboard them somewhere else.
But you've not started anything, but you have a big dream. The dream is big. You've not, even business plan you don't have.
Yeah, but you see, what? Business plan is see, 2020 we had COVID.
Okay.
2024 we had AI coming. Is business plan still needed? If I did my business plan in 2020, I'm not projecting that in March I will have to shut down my store because of COVID. So the question is, in this modern generation, they will tell you business plan isn't needed. The business planning isn't needed. So the question is, why should I have one where the economic landscape, the political landscape keep changing?
Okay, so business plan is not static. It is not write it once and forget about it. You keep improving it.
Mm-hmm. What are the contents? Yes, let's move to, yes.
Of course, the executive summary, the business description, that is the summary of the business. What is the business about? When was it founded? By who? What are the products and services that you're offering? Right? And then we talk about the problem, the solution, the market you are serving, your business model, how you are making money, and your financials, what you've done, your traction, and how much you need. So let's be practical about it.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Frank Franklin.
Business Podcast.
Business Podcast is giving 5 million naira to support 5 businesses. That's a million naira each. We're practical.
We're going to do that soon, as a matter of fact. Yeah. I mean it. Yeah.
So, you wrote your business plan during COVID and you wanted 10 million naira. You're not carrying that business plan that has 10 million naira. Go and submit. Mr. Franklin, what would you do? And then somebody else who wrote 1 million naira and updated the business plan with all of the information that are needed. Who would you give? Is it the person that submitted a business plan that wrote during COVID? Even COVID-19 is even showing inside the business plan.
So obviously, I'll give you. Yeah.
You update it.
You we're talking backstage, and you made mention of how people can take advantage of ChatGPT. Sometimes these things can be, especially administrative work, it can be cumbersome, it can be taxing. Some people are the people that get their hands dirty, they're on the field, they just love getting to the work. Some people are very good at administration, but you see, getting their hands dirty, they don't like that. You get. So it's a way of finding a blend of how to partner with people who are administrative. If you're a dirty hand person, or if you're administrative, find somebody who can get their hands dirty and get to the field. Let's really talk about you were sharing ideas about leveraging ChatGPT to be able to get those facts, those data, how to penetrate, how to write this winning grant, a strategy on how to write winning grants.
Okay, so
yeah.
I still need to come back.
Okay, please. Yeah.
You taking charge.
Okay.
Right. You like to get your hands dirty, but you need money. That get your hands dirty that you are doing is operations. Delegate it to somebody while you focus on raising funds. So you can thank God for technology. Or like before, oh, businessman, you can't write. Just go on ChatGPT. ChatGPT, help my life. I want to apply for 10 million naira grants. But they're asking me to submit a business plan that aligns with the organization's objective. And you go to that organization's website, copy their objectives. ChatGPT, this is their goals, or these are their goals and objectives. So this is the business that I do. You explain to ChatGPT, this is what I do. I've sold this in number of products. This is my business. Can you give me a problem that my business is solving? Back it up with statistics and the source of the statistics. Send it. Not that you tell ChatGPT, give me a business plan for farm business. It's going to give you copy and paste.
But they'll say ChatGPT is not location sensitive. It doesn't play in the Nigerian market. That's so how can you write a business plan that helps you, that applies to the Nigerian market?
It depends on what you put in. It depends on what you put in.
So, I don't know. Does it make it tailored?
Yes, it does. It does. It does. It does. It does. It's leveraging AI. See, you can't be better than AI. You can't be better than AI. Just take it or leave it. You either have to work with it, because you don't have access to all the information. You don't have repertoire of data in your reserve or somewhere that is stored. You get. You only have access to your own data, mm-hmm. more often than not, or data within your environment. But data outside your environment, you might necessarily not have access to it, and you just want to leverage AI to be able to help you get that.
And the interesting thing I like about ChatGPT is it will go and research in all the online places and it will bring you the data. And even when it brings you something that is so long, you can tell it, customize it to what I'm doing. Personalize it for me. Summarize it for me. So use it like you are having a conversation. Not like it's going to give you something general and broad. It works for the Nigerian businesses. So you just have to indicate that I own a business in Nigeria. This is my business is in Nigeria. This is what it is. These are the customers I'm currently serving. It will go and bring out the data wherever it is to bring it for you.
Now let's talk about after writing it. Let's be practical. What grants do you think are available? You can as well give us range, the price, the range of funding they give to small, medium scale enterprises, and what they should do to be ready for it.
Okay.
Step by step.
Okay.
Things these small businesses need to do to be ready for this grant. And those, the organization, foundations, you've won a couple of them, you've helped clients to be able to get access to them. Just run us through some of those.
Let me give an example.
Yeah.
Orange Corners grant.
Yeah.
OCI fund, Orange Corners grant.
Yes.
Sponsored by the Kingdom of Netherlands in partnership with Faith Foundation.
Okay.
Right. So, first of all, they roll out the application. You are going to fill the form online. Of course, to apply for that kind of a grant, you need to be a graduate in Nigeria.
Okay.
So, if you're not a graduate, you cannot apply. But you can get a younger co-founder, and you must be between 18 and 35. So, if you are above that age, you get a younger co-founder. And note, when you are getting the younger co-founder, you're not getting the younger co-founder because you want to win grants. Get a younger co-founder that aligns with the vision and the goals. The person is not just there applying for grants, you're giving share. And of course, you're not sharing the money. You're only, if you want to pay the person from the sales of your product, not from the money that you want. Now, once you apply, you need to go and read about the goals. Now, Orange Corners supports businesses that are social enterprises, that create employment, that solve social problems, environmental problems like recycling, sustainability project and all of those things. So those are the things that they support. So you need to now align. Let's say you sell fashion now, fashion clothing stuff. You can say you sell sustainable fashion wares.
I love that.
The I know somebody who won €100,000 because she packaged out with her business as a sustainable fashion company. Yes.
It's yes. true. Because somebody yes. has used
yeah,
it.
You know what you're doing? Because you are supporting reuse, recycle, yeah. and repurpose. Because that way you are not like the environment is not littered with used clothes, or they are burning them and something is polluting the air and all of those things.
Okrika, here I come.
So you aligned, like you look forward to tweak your idea. You reinvent it, you reinnovate it. It's looking like it's Bibi English, but I just told you how to go about it, right? So once you apply, you align your goals and objectives, your business, whatever, with their with what they are looking out for. They call you for an interview. They want to learn about what you're doing. You pass that phase. Then they bring 30 of you into 2-day or 3-day boot camp. And at the end, you pitch your business, and then they select the first 20 to go into the program. It's a 6-month program. They're going to train you. They're going to fund you. And for that 6 months, they're giving you a stipend of €4,000 beneficiary. So during that process, you will learn about fundraising. You learn about, even if your business idea is not well refined, they will guide you. They will support you with mentors, those who have done businesses successfully, and they can be able to guide you, do that, like advise you. And at the end, you can then apply for the OCIF fund, which is €120,000. The first prize is about €40,000. Second prize, €30,000, €15,000, €10,000, like that. So there are different tiers of grants. It depends on the level that you want to play in. Mm-hmm. There's a €50,000 grant. If you want it, go and play in that small level. If you want €100,000, go there. If you want €200,000, if you want €500,000, if you want all these dollars I'm mentioning, euros, €5,000, €10,000, go. There's African Business Euros.
Mm.
Yeah, they give $1.5 million to support 10 African entrepreneurs every year.
They do their
this year. No. This year, now my year, I must be the man of the year. Are you seeing what we are seeing, Kelechi?
So yeah. It depends on the kind of, so if you are solving small problems, you can be going for small grants. But if you are long term and you are thinking global and you're solving huge problem, right, you have solution for it. Now there's a tech company, an edtech company, right? They provide tech knowledge, like you can learn about UX, AID, coding, and all of those things on their platform. In fact, that company is currently one of the top 20 on African Business Heroes. In fact, I'm a 3-time judge on African Business. I've reviewed the application. I started reviewing the application since 2022. I said 2022, 2020, and this year.
Wow.
And most things that I see in applications are many people who submit the application, they don't back their claims with verifiable data and source. These are the issues. And if you're not solving a big problem, who gives you $300,000? Convert that money to Naira. If you are not solving a big problem.
True.
Like I said, you need to think about what you're doing. If you want big money, there's big money. If you want small money, it depends on the level that you're playing in. So you need to, the money is there. Yes, the Nigeria economy, fuel price, these things are realities, but the money is there. You need to now sit down and take charge and think about your business very well. Your business is small, but you are just seeing it at that small level. If you think about it every day and you do your research, you are good to go. And of course, in applying for the grants, like I talked about the orange corners at the end, then you now apply and pitch for funds. There are business, I've seen food packaging business, I've seen recycling, I've seen those in sustainable, I've seen arts. In fact, now let me talk about the MSME awards, right? They supported a couple of Nigerian entrepreneurs with funds. In fact, the grand prize, even at the person won a house in Abuja. Yes, and the lady said she has been going to, I can't remember the name of the organization. She has been going there to request for loan. They keep bouncing her. And then she kept working on her business. And then she applied for the MSME Awards this year. She won a house. She won money for her business. The loan that she was looking for, she got it as grants. And some people say, oh, it's only government people. If you have connection. Don't let me say connection. Key your enemy, dear.
But some people might say that statement is valid. Can you invalidate that?
Okay, I'll invalidate that by saying I've won grants for my business 11 times and none of those grants came by.
No intention.
And I've seen a couple of other entrepreneurs get grants too, and none of them are seeking by connection.
And also, you've gotten from government?
Yes.
Wow. Well, tell us a few of these government grants.
Okay, so I mentioned one that is, okay, let me mention it. The one that is currently going on, NYIF, National Youth Investment Fund. Right, so whether it's grant you want, they give you, you can apply. Whether it's loan, whether it's equity funds, you can apply.
Sorry, but they said they shut it down due to the high number of applications. It came out during the End Bad Governance protest, or the major during the End Bad Governance protest. Because during that period, we noticed a trend whereby so many essays to the presidency, they were heavy on Twitter promoting some of the good works they had done. And I saw the fund and I felt like, okay, it was enacted during that period. And they said they had to shut it down because of the high application. I have a friend, he's a fashion designer, he makes clothes. And anything, okay, take this link, apply. You say, now lie. They know they give this thing. They know they give this thing. And I'm like, do you have your business structured? And he was like, my business, if you watch this episode, he will block my name. My business is even registered in the US. Why? Are you serving the US market? And he was like, So the lack of education is still there. And I blame the government agencies. Because they are not at the forefront of pushing this thing to make sure it gets to the grassroots. The government agencies and the National Orientation Services have done bad in making sure government policies that better the life of the people get to the grassroots, to the local level.
But sometimes...
You said you blame the government. Yeah. Now, let's take your friend, for example. You gave him link. You said he's a liar. Is it government that's responsible for
exactly,
him that they lie?
Exactly what I was going to say. Exactly what I was going to say.
PR.
Imagine the... they've done PR now. They did publication, newspaper publication. They'll put it on the agency's website. They'll put it on their Twitter page. Will they shove it down your... it down your throat.
You can take it to the river to drink water, but you cannot force it to drink from it.
But I think it's trust issues. There's always this trust deficit between the people and the government. And that gap has not been filled. Because when you can't use what you said you use taxpayers' money to do, so they won't trust you in any other thing. And that's the problem generally, though.
Okay.
But that's why we have here to demystify all those myths around grants from government, fundings from government. Because eventually, people end up getting it. And why can't the viewers of the Frankly Business Podcast get these things?
Mindset. We've said all of this today. It's your responsibility to do your research more and find out how you can start benefiting from it. However, if you say, this is fake, it's not real, they want to collect my data, they want to collect my name, they want... Stay there, you don't need it. You don't need it. Those that need it, that's why you see the same people that are getting the grant over and over again.
Will you say most Nigerian entrepreneurs, especially the small business owners, they are in survival mode rather than scaling mode when it comes to their business?
That's the vision. The vision is just hovering around survival.
Maybe that's why they need access to this.
Taking over territories, like you said.
It still comes to the mindset. And they are thinking short term, survival. How can I eat today? How can I pay school fees? How can I pay house rent? But if you start thinking of other people, how you can solve other people's problems, then you are in the global market.
All right, let's move now. Let's go into the writing itself. Most grants company or people that give grants, they'll tell you, okay, send your pitch deck. You have a lot of work doing with pitch deck, right? Especially when you're applying for grants and when you're even getting loans. The act of writing a winning pitch deck, like pitch deck where we say when the judges, you're a judge, what do you always look out for when it has to do with pitch deck? When people send their pitch, what do you always look out for?
Okay, pitch deck, I would say, for those who don't know, is an infographic summary of your business plan. So for you to have your pitch deck, you must have your business plan in place already. Because what you have in your business plan, the information in your business plan is what you would put in your pitch deck, right? So what I look out for, number one, the clarity the how organized the pitch deck is and how clear and clean the deck is. So you are not going to write a pitch deck and use black background and yellow to write it. It's not clear. You are not the only one that you are reviewing your application. So first of all, the eyes feed before the mouth eats. So it has to be very clean, clear. I usually advise white background, irrespective of your brand color, but use a white background for your pitch deck. And of course, represent it, like I said, is an infographic summary. Infographic means pictures, write-up, right? So represent, your logo should be on your pitch deck. The type of market that you're solving, right? If it has to do with children, right? Let's have pictures of children and then represent it. And if you're supporting it with data, obviously you have to. Let's add the data and then you put it in brackets. And there are pitch deck templates online. Grant winning pitch deck, just type it on Google. Grant winning pitch deck templates.
So bring or it Canva.
Up. Or Canva, yes, preferably Canva. Yeah. So once you do that, so say writing pitch deck, it is not a big deal. First of all, you need to tell yourself, do I need the funds? Yes. Am I taking charge of my life? Yes. Am I ready to take responsibility? Yes. And then you see all of these things. And of course, in doing all of these things, you have to cut off distractions, because you are not going to get the best when you are distracted. For example, you have 10 balls and all the 10 balls are supposed to give you 10 million naira. Each ball is 1 million. Now, if you carry all the 10 balls and push them towards the 10 million, you get the 10 million. But if you divide the balls, 5 balls, let's say I give 5 balls to Mr. Franklin and I give you 5 balls, and I give you 2 and I have 3, I can only push the 3. The 2, I've given them out. Those are distractions. Distractions like scrolling on gossip blogs, talking about, complaining about the Nigerian economy, but I see adding one error to your pocket. You need to wave out all of those distractions so you can focus. You can focus and put all your balls, all your energy together, put it into applying for the grant and then getting it. Of course, you can apply for as many, because the more you apply, it's not like when you're applying to this organization, there are chances that you're going to get it. They are just, let's say this year you can decide you want to apply for 50 grants. At all, you will see 1, 2, or 3 collects.
There's a particular VC I know of. I think it's Kola Oyinna Venture Platform.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's Kola Oyinna. I'm not too sure. Let me know. But one of the VCs in Nigeria, he said that one of his greatest lottery in investment is investing in a current unicorn in this country. He invested and he gave them funds, came in, I think it was even pre-seed. I think he said maybe he gave them $20,000 or so. Either one of them. I can't remember.
They invested in Piggy.
Uh-huh. He
gave them their first check.
Exactly. And he said that was the gateway to... You know, when you become a unicorn, is like when you cross the $1 billion mark in market capitalization. Can you tell me maybe a few examples of people who have gotten grants? But apart from winning those grants, it's one thing, but has created this real impact, and those businesses have become branches. They've become so massive. It will give you joy. As I've invested in this company, yes, I've made a truckload of money from even grants. You didn't even make money, but that impact, they will always tell, oh, my business grew because of this particular money I got. You get, just share a few of those stories.
Let me take it like this. To find those stories, you can get them on, you can get the details of those organizations on the organizations that gave the grant.
Oh, okay.
Let me put it that way.
Yeah, true.
So you can get more details about them, but I can give you an example. There is Life Bank.
Oh, yeah.
Life Bank got $300,000 from African Business Unions. And they've grown over time. They are across the globe, right? So they use the helicopter to provide blood to support those that need blood transfusion and all of those things. So Life Bank is one of them, and a couple of other businesses, but I do not have them at my fingertips. That's why I wanted to give you more.
Okay. Because me, I'm trying to just focus on the impact, because people just always think that the grant, money don't come. But it's actually impacting the economy, because more money will be coming in. And to put it in perspective, there are people who are waiting for Africa to build structure that will be able to take this money that is coming. We're experiencing capital flight. And capital flight is literally happening now. Let me, to explain it, The US, what's it called? Interest rate is 5.5% as we speak. Now, the Feds, that's like CBN in the US, they are saying that they want to cut rates. They are bringing down the interest rate. And what that means is a lot of billionaires and business people who have been taking advantage of the system in the US, they'll start removing their funds. Why? Because treasury bills no longer give as much yield as it used to give. So many money market funds will not give as much yield, different bonds. So they will take their money from there. And guess what? They're looking for emerging markets, frontier markets. Mm-hmm. Those frontier markets are where? Africa. When you mention Africa, what country comes to mind first? Nigeria. And those monies will start coming in. We're seeing it. That's why you're seeing this administration saying we made more money. There's more influx coming in. Because from COVID till 2024 now, capital inflow has been averaging $1 billion. But right now, in first quarter of this year, capital inflow rose to $4 billion in the first time since COVID. So we're seeing those signs. Dollars is beginning to come in. We're still creating a lot of mess. A lot of mess is still happening. But we're seeing those signs. And we need to be ready for these funds when they come in.
Do you think
Yes. So I just remembered one of the companies that I know.
Okay.
Accounting Up. Right. Chioma started Accounting Up in 2016. She won a first grant of $5,000 from TEF to the Foundation.
Okay. And Red Sox man.
She was able to put that money into the business, and she grew the business and built it into a successful edtech. And recently she won $100,000 from MasterCard.
Interesting.
And our company has been able to impact over 12,000 African youths, training them on not just accounting, but relevant knowledge to use to be more productive at the office space. Relevant tech tools that you can gain mastery of and be very, very useful at the workplace. So imagine somebody getting $5,000.
And has grown
since 2016 till now. And has generated over $100 million in revenue, won a grant. MasterCard will give you $100,000. Of course, you must have proven that.
That's right.
That your business has done some things. You'll be able to, like, you have some level of revenue. And there are some grant organizations, if you do not have up to, like, if you've not generated about $50 million or $100 million in revenue, they will not support you.
We've been talking about revenue, money. And the money has to do with finance. Finance is the way you run your business, self, your financials has to be uptight. Let's come to the balance sheet. Let's talk about financial statement. What are the things you expect business owners to focus on? How should they? I want us to make it very, very simple. Even if they're using a pen and a paper, what should be the outline? Okay, I made sales today. What should they write?
Of course.
What should they, if they're using Excel,
Of course.
Let's just have a mental picture of how to arrange your financials.
Okay, so income, expenses, profit and loss. That is a very, very simple financial statement.
Mm.
And you can use tech tools like, when I say tech tools, let me simplify it. There are websites that you can list your product and services on. And then when customers patronize you, you have the database of the customers. You have the invoice automatically on the website.
Please tell my people. No.
There's one.